The sermon for tonight I got, I think it was a few weeks ago. I was sitting right back here in the service, and I thought this would probably be the next sermon I would preach when I preached here. And it came pretty quick. I didn't know till yesterday, Stephen and Brother Jerry that talked about it mentioned it. So here I am. Had a good visit with Brother Dwayne today. Hey, y'all might need me to speak in two microphones tonight. Hallelujah. Get a double. They give me a double anointing. I speak in two microphones. Praise the Lord. But we did have a good visit today, and we thank the Lord for that. And I had a wonderful memorial service with a lady yesterday over in Stamps that we all grew up with. And she was the last one of that generation. She was almost 97. Been planning for me to do her memorial service for a number of years. And so God really blessed in that service, and we thank the Lord for it. And so if you have your Bibles tonight, the title of the message tonight is Fight Right. Fight Right. How many of you fought a lot of battles since you've been saved? Different kinds of battles. Let me see your hands. Then you're all veterans if you've been fighting these battles. You may not have been in our actual country's military, but as I say to people, you know, I know about fighting battles, not the kind that our military men have fought in actual physical combat, but if you've been saved very long, you cannot really advance in the kingdom of God without fighting battles. It says over in Acts chapter 14, now this verse is not up there. I gave you all a few verses, brother. Is that Brother Lee up there? I'm going to start bringing my binoculars with me. And I can look and see good. But it says over in Acts 14, I don't remember. I think it's down around verse 22, that they were confirming the souls of the disciples, and basically I'm paraphrasing the verse, but they were, and telling them, through much tribulation we shall enter the kingdom of God. Well, I thought you entered the kingdom when you got saved. Well, the Bible says, except a man be born again, he can't enter the kingdom of God. But you just went in through the door when you got saved. You just started into the kingdom. And once you get inside, it's how much of the kingdom territory you're going to be able to possess in your life. And God expects us to expand the territory of the kingdom into all facets and areas of our life. And every time that you start to advance the kingdom into a new area, you run into tribulation. And you cannot possess that area of the kingdom unless you overcome the tribulation. Amen? Now, I was speaking a week or so ago, Lord laid on my heart. I was speaking down there, Brother Jerry Green Grove, that Sunday. He laid it on my heart that Sunday to preach on a warrior spirit. There's many different kinds of spirits a believer must have, whether it be a kingly spirit, a priestly spirit, a servant spirit, a discipleship spirit, you know, loving spirit, but a warrior spirit. Some people get saved maybe because they're not in churches that teach them. And, of course, here at Victory, y'all hear it all the time. You've been hearing it for years. You know, we're all called to be warriors. But you can never really advance like you should in the kingdom of God unless you become a warrior. You have to be a warrior in the kingdom of God. But there's been a lot of battles I fought, and sometimes, you know, and even knowing the scriptures, and people will know the scriptures. Maybe they know all about the scriptures, and yet Satan is a master deceiver. He will try to get you, even though you know you're having to fight to win this battle, he will try to get you doing it the wrong way. And even though you may intellectually and with knowledge know what the Bible says and even be applying some of it, if we are trying to fight our battles the wrong way until we learn more and more to fight the right way, those battles will continue. They will not cease as quickly as they should until we get the Lord really in control. So sometimes we're fighting a losing battle, even as Christians. So I want to try to, that was what the Lord laid on my heart that day over there. I want to try to maybe just give a little added clarification on how to fight right. Now, this is not only whether it's against Satan, whether it's against yourself, the self person, the old self, and the sin operating through the old self, whether it's dealing with situations, because in every basic situation that you go into, constantly swirling about you and I, there's the two forces are always operating. God's always operating, and the devil's always operating. The devil is trying to take every situation and turn it into something for the advantage of the kingdom of darkness. And God is trying to take every situation in our lives, in our nature, everything, and turn it into something that possesses the kingdom for the kingdom of light and the kingdom of heaven. So we have to learn how to properly wage this war. So I'm going to start out by reading. I didn't have this one down. This is the first one, but I'm going to turn and read in Joshua chapter 5, first of all. Joshua chapter 5. I'm going to read a few verses there. And then we're going to, from there to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. But let's read in Joshua chapter 5, and beginning with verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. Wow, this is a heavenly warrior here, some kind of a celestial being. I mean, Joshua didn't quite understand this, and so he went over unto him and he said, Are you for us or for our adversaries? Must have been pretty impressive what he saw. And the answer was in sort of an unusual way. He said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. In other words, he wasn't saying he was against Joshua, but he was saying, I'm the one that decides and leads in the battle. And if you're following me, then yes, I'll be on your side. I'll be the captain, he says here, as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. So if he's the captain, then that means he's the one in charge. That means that he is the one that is going to lead the battle. He is the one that's going to direct the battle. He is going to be the one, this captain of the Lord's host does not lose battles. We heard President Trump said, you're going to win so much, you'll get tired of it. Well, I don't know people ever get tired of winning. But I know if the captain of the Lord's host is in his proper placement in the proper way, and we're behind him, we don't lose the battle. We win the battle in the end. Whatever battle we're up against, we win. It's a foregone conclusion that we're not going to be fighting a losing battle, because the greatest winner of all is not going to lead his people and his army into a losing battle. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So he said, and Joshua, what? He fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And now he's recognized, this is I think they called in the Old Testament a theophany, probably a manifest appearance, probably of Christ in the Old Testament. How many of you know Jesus did exist before Bethlehem, you know? I mean, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. There was no creation apart from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I could never help but believe in the Trinity, especially when you put them in the first book and about the first verse of the Bible, or first verse or two of the Bible. How could anyone not believe in a triune Godhead? Amen. God said, let us make man in our own image. Now there's a debate whether or not God has any feminine characteristics. You know. But what did God say? He said, let us make man in our own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created him. See the ladies, y'all weren't an afterthought with God. And Adam was so glad. I'm so glad Della wasn't an afterthought with God. Amen. I'm glad. I'm surely glad. Even though I had to warn prayer in, I'm glad. You got to possess your possessions. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he said, male and female made he them. In the image of God, he made them. So, you know, when he made the male, the female was already made inside the male. Now, don't tell me to biologically explain all that. See if I've got a missing rib. So, but anyway, Joshua worshipped and he said, what saith my Lord? Now he's calling him not only captain of the Lord's host, but he recognizes this is his Lord. Jesus was always there. As a matter of fact, with God the Father, it was a foregone conclusion that he was already slain before the foundations of the world. Before Adam was ever created, God knew the whole plan. He declares the end from the beginning. And then he takes a multitude of impossible mathematical processes through a period of thousands of years, working through a fallen, sinful man and those who he loved, and still brings his eternal purpose to pass. In spite of all the odds, he brought Jesus into this world. In spite of all the odds, it got down to the place. There were a few times it got down to the place where there wasn't many righteous people left. The lineage was not too many there. He couldn't find many Abrahams to be the father of faith to carry that lineage forward. There wasn't many Noahs left in the days of the flood. But God saw to it that there is always a man, or some men, or someone, or woman, a man and woman in the godly lineage, that they could not prohibit the lineage of the Messianic Son of God coming into this world. The devil fought it in every way he could, and yet ultimately the final victory comes through the Son of God and his victory, and the body of Christ, his body, when Jesus had put his head, foot on the head of every single enemy that there has been, and he has a church to rise up that's able to put their foot on the head of the enemies, just like their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise God. And so the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose your shoe from off your foot. The place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. Now let's turn over and read 2 Chronicles chapter 32. A powerful passage here. Verses 1 through 8, I believe it is, that I want to read. If you can't get all those up there, that's okay. But this is a picture of the Christian life. After these things and the establishment thereof, Hezekiah was ruling here. As I can remember, he was one a few among all the kings. Like all politicians, he was one of the good ones, but there was a lot of bad ones. Amen. But it said, after they had established some things, and I didn't go back previously and read the other chapter prior to that, but it says, Sennacherib, a king of Assyria, came. Now notice, this is like, we know the devil comes to steal and kill and destroy. Sennacherib came, and he entered into Judah, and he encamped against the fenced cities. So you can be sure there's going to be plenty of times the enemy is going to encamp against your life. God didn't prevent him from coming, and he thought to win them for himself. And that's always the objective of Satan, is to win them for himself. I got to get to rolling here. Can you run that clock back a few minutes, Brother Jesse, for me? No, I'm just kidding. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come, now notice, so explicit here, and that he was what? He was purposed to fight against Jerusalem. And so Satan always has that purpose. And he operates through sin. And he operates even through situations and through our weak self that has to die. We have to die daily to self. We've already, old man's been crucified, but we have to bring it into our life and apply our crucifixion. Why? That the body of sin might be destroyed. That's the explicit purpose why we were crucified with Christ. It makes it clear that our old man is crucified with him for what purpose? That the old man might be destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin. See, once the new man rises to ascendancy over the old man, and the old man is put to death in every situation, sin can't rule in that area anymore. It's impossible as long as the new man is in authority. And so his purpose fight, he took counsel with his princes, his mighty men, to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they to help him. Hezekiah was getting a strategy here, hopefully, I guess, from the Lord. But he didn't really know exactly what to do. So there was gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, "Why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water?" Also, he strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken. And he raised it up to the towers and another wall without, and repaired Milo and the city of David, and made darts and shields in abundance. And he set captains of war over the people. And he gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city, and spake comfortably to them, saying, "Now, I didn't look up the Hebrew word comfortably, but normally it's not too comfortable, you know, when you're about to be attacked. But anyway, people a lot of times could rest themselves. Another place it says they rested themselves upon the words. I used that verse just a couple of weeks ago. They rested themselves upon the words of the king. So if you have someone with confidence and assurance, it gives, you know, a certain amount of peace in your heart. But he said, "Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us." Now notice this, and to fight our battles. This is the key to learning to fight right. We can be trying to fight with the Lord. We can be trying to fight the devil, fight our sin. We can be, all well-intentioned and get in the midst of this situation. But this clearly says the Lord is to fight our battles. And we'll try to expand on that just a little bit more before we get through here. And there is the verse. "And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah." Now, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 6:12, and I don't have this verse up there, but it says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to the which you're also called, and have professed a good profession among many witnesses." The only fight that we are called to fight is the fight of faith. We're not actually called ourselves in our strength or anything to fight the devil. We're not called to fight our old man. We're not even called to fight the situations. Why would we be the ones to do that when someone has already done it for us? But a lot of times we get a little confused, and I know there's a fine line here, but we get so involved in the conflict, and we're fighting, and we say, "I'm fighting the devil," and all that, and then we'll bring the name of Jesus in. But you don't just attach the name of Jesus to fighting sin and the devil. You put Jesus out in front of the fight and say, "You've already won the battle, and I'm not going to focus my attention on the battle. I'm not going to focus my attention upon the devil. I'm not going to focus my attention upon the fight. I'm going to focus my attention on coming to a point of steadfast faith." faith in Him who has already won the victory for me. It's a foregone conclusion. It may take you 6 months. It may take 6 years in some areas for your faith to get to full fruition. But when your faith gets to full fruition in Him who wins every battle, then for you, the battle that was won already will come to be won experientially in your life at that moment and at that point in your life. So, it says in Psalm 55, verse 18, I think we have that verse there. I love this verse here. Psalm 55, verse 18. He hath delivered my soul in peace. He, from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. You not only have Him, you've got all the hosts of heaven following along behind the Lord. It's already won. It's already done. I like the song that, you know, it says, how's it said? In my heart, a battle was raging. Not all prisoners of war had come home, but they were battlefields of my own making. I did not know that the war had been won. Then I heard that the King of the ages had fought all the battles for me. And victory was mine for the claiming. And now, praise His name, I am free. That was in one of our songs tonight about He won the battle. I was noticing that, Brett, when y'all were singing that song, that about where He won the battle. So, how do we fight right? Let's turn and read a few other verses. I didn't put the verses down on this, but let's read in Psalm 18. Psalm 18. I like this whole chapter here, but it says in Psalm 18, beginning with verse 34, He teaches my hands to war. So we have to learn to fight right. Remember, it's just the fight of faith. That's all we're called to fight. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. You also have given me the shield of your salvation. And your right hand hath holden me up, and your gentleness hath made me great. I've often thought about that verse. What an unusual statement in Scripture. And I've said to myself many times, man, you need to be more gentle. And I get aggravated with myself when I'm not gentle. Because what an unusual statement. David said, your gentleness is what has made me great. Wow. You have enlarged my steps under me that my feet did not slip. Now notice, I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them. You have to get to where in your life in fighting right, you're not afraid with Jesus out in front. He's won the battle. You're not afraid to stand up. You're not afraid of the battle you're fighting. You're not afraid that ultimately it's going to overcome you. You might be right in the heat of the battle. You might look like you're falling down 10 times, a dozen times, but you get right up and say, I'm not afraid of this battle. I don't care how many times I've fallen. I know what the ultimate outcome's going to be. It's just a matter of time. I will win. My faith will conquer because Jesus is already conquered. All I've got to do is come to have a persuaded faith. Amen. And then things that we used to run from and things we used to fear, now we attack. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were what? Consumed. I've wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. For you have girded me with strength unto the battle. You have subdued under me those that rose up against me. You also have given me the necks of mine enemies that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but He answered them not. Well, why did they cry on the Lord? Because I guess they saw they were about to get whipped and they didn't nobody else to talk to. See, God didn't hear their prayers. A lot of people try to use God. You know what I mean? They just use Him when they think they can and they go on and do the other stuff they want to. So anyway, let me just mention quickly here how to not fight wrong, how to fight right. Number one, don't focus on the enemy's person. Do not focus on the enemy's person. If you're going to fight right, you've got to get your mind off of the devil. Now, I'm not saying you don't realize there's an enemy out there. You do. But Jesus is the one to take care of the enemy. And one of the tactics of the enemy is to try to get you to fighting with God, but always talking and thinking about the devil that you're fighting. Oh, I'm fighting against the devil. I got the devil this, and the devil that, and the devil this. That is fighting wrong. You don't talk about the devil all the time and give him glory. You talk about the one who has defeated every imp of hell and totally taken authority away from them. But you can actually become afraid of the works of the devil. Anytime you're afraid of fear, you're afraid of your sin that you haven't overcome, you're afraid of a stronghold, you're afraid of things that's going to fall apart, or you have things in situations in your life that's going to get the best of you, and you have the worry about that, and you keep your mind on it, that means that you're in the midst of the battle. And what did the Lord say? You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And he said, trust ye in the Lord Jehovah, for in the Lord Jehovah's everlasting strength. Now, that's keeping your mind stayed on the Lord, focused on him, means more than just thinking about him. It means you have literally, in faith, come attached to him. You have literally yoked and united and fused with God in that situation. Because how many of you know you can think on the Lord in the midst of a battle a lot of time and still don't have peace? But when you come to that point, you're stayed to the point that he'll do what he said, and the victory's won, and you don't have to sweat it, and you're not going to fight it on your own, and you're not going to worry about it, and you get stayed on him, and the devil can't get you to focus on him. He can't get you to focus on the sin. He can't get you to focus on the situation. He can't get you to focus on the storm. Then all of a sudden that peace will come. I've told y'all before, I've been preaching nearly 55 years, and every time I get up to preach now, probably more than even when I was a young preacher, I'm still young, I mean, y'all understand. But I'm utterly incapable, Brother Jerry. I feel it in my gut, in that area where a lot of your emotions are, before I get up. I have to apply this principle in preaching the Word of God. I have to let God go and do it. I mean, I could get up and say some words, but it would fall flat on his face. It wouldn't accomplish anything. I don't have the power. And I told y'all, I believe this before. I believe God showed me, and I'm sure he has some other people, that when Paul prayed that prayer, he said there was given him a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet him, lest he be exalted above measure and so forth. We don't understand why all that happened. He said, I besought the Lord three times. And people say, well, Paul never got healed. The Lord didn't answer his prayer. Oh, yeah, God answered. Sure, God answered his prayer. This is the way he answered it. My grace is sufficient for you. I didn't promise to take every weakness away. I didn't promise that you wouldn't sense the inability of the flesh. As a matter of fact, that goes along with serving God. If you want a great marriage or anything like that, or fear comes in any area of your physical relationship, you watch it. The moment fear comes in, fear will try to take over. When fear comes in, it'll try to take over. You got to rise up against it in any area. And you got to say no, because some fear comes in, it just sweeps in over you. And it begins to operate. It begins to operate in you. And you think, oh my God, what's happened here? And you just need to rise up and let Jesus begin to take over the situation. And so, what was I saying? Oh, Paul. He went on and said a most unusual thing. He said, I will glory in mine infirmities. Amen. Not that he enjoyed having any feeling of weakness or anything that would attack him to make him sense how utterly incapable he was, but at the same time, he said, okay, well, God, it doesn't matter, because you said your grace is sufficient for my weakness. And he said, so therefore, when I'm weak, really in your kingdom, that's when I'm strong. Because then I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know I can't do it. That gives you a real sense of queasiness. But then I have to turn around by faith and say, but I know you can and you will. So therefore, I don't get the glory. You get the glory because it was you that accomplished it. And I get to share in your glory. I like it when we get a little revelation, a new revelation. I was thinking about that verse just recently. All the promises of God are in Him, in Jesus. You got to learn how to abide in Him. Forever promise, yes and amen. And so I was thinking about that. Why do they say yes and amen? Yes means you say, I'm in agreement with that. But amen says, so let it be. I'm going to have to be a so be it person. I'm going to have to declare it's got to be this way. I agree with the promise, and now the promise has got to come to be in my life. And he said, "There to the glory of God by us. To the glory of God by us. We get to share in that glory." So don't focus on the enemy's person. Let me read these right quick. Here's some of the ways people fight wrong. They're trying to fight, but they concentrate on what they must do in this fight. They try to concentrate on all the things. No, you've got to believe the Lord. That's what you've got to do. They got to concentrate on. They concentrate on what other people expect of them. They concentrate on what I expect by next Sunday. I've got to have this solved by next week. Oh, I can't dare, get down, or I can't dare, falter in this. They concentrate on their expectations. They concentrate on if they can fulfill enough religious performance. We condemn ourselves for feeling, well, I'm not able. I've tried. I've been trying with God. See, all of this is too much of a mixture. You don't mix Jesus' victory with all these other things that you concentrate on. You say Jesus is the total victory. I don't need to concentrate on these other things. I've got to focus on my relationship with Him. He's the victor. That's all I need. That's enough and more than enough. I don't need to focus on all these other things. I got to try to be better and get good enough. I've been doing good now for 5 days. Maybe I've won. That don't prove nothing. You don't concentrate on your hopes, so achievements. You'll know it when you've won. You'll know it when you won the victory, when peace is there and there's no more power from the enemy and no more power from the situation. You'll know it when you've won. Until then, you just got to learn how to let the Lord fight for you. 6 minutes. Wow, I'm doing good now. I only got my main 3 points left and all that. That's all I've got left. Sometimes we think, well, I think a medicine can solve this problem for me. I got to try to figure things out. I'm going to come up with a plan. And it's all right always to submit to the Lord and let Him tell you something to do. That's letting Him fight. But if the Lord's not leading you and guiding you, then there's no need of just trying to figure things out on your own. Now, let me give you something to think about here. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. What does that word wrestle mean? I've been thinking about it. What do we wrestle for? I know we're wrestling against the devil, but what we're really wrestling for is faith. And the devil, why we wrestle is because he blurs and blinds and obstructs and hinders us from getting to faith. So see, what we've really got to get to is faith. Our wrestling is not for us to try to personally defeat the devil. Our wrestling is to get the faith in the one who has defeated the devil for us. And the Lord showed me this, and see if you agree with this. By the way, if you don't agree with my theology, you can just put it on the shelf and pray about it, because that's what I always do. And I tell people, well, you have to examine things, But the Lord, I believe, showed me this, that the armor of God, every basic part of the armor of God is a gift. Put on the girdle of truth. What does truth do? It combats lies. Jesus is the truth. He's the living truth. He said, I am the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And so truth is a gift. And he's the ultimate gift of truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. I have no righteousness of my own. So I put on his righteousness. If I'm not righteous and in right standing in an area, I just start receiving by faith his righteousness. I don't try to pump it up. I don't try to generate it in myself. I mean, I have. We all struggle. But all I have to do is receive his righteousness until it really is put onto me in that area, right standing, his right standing. The helmet of salvation, signed, sealed, and delivered. It's his salvation. It's already done. Shoes of peace, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. You already have his peace. You already have the gift. You have the armor. It's all a gift. And then he says, the one thing we have to participate out in front of all, put the shield of faith. Now we have faith in his faith. His faith carried him to the cross. His faith carried him out of the grave. His faith carried him back to heaven. His faith did all that. And now my faith in his faith. And he said, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, where we learn about all of these other gifts that he's given us here. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That builds that communion, that relationship, that fellowship with him. So these are all gifts. So don't focus on the enemy's person. Don't focus on the enemy's process of sin and situations. Don't focus upon those things, you know, the features of sin, the forcefulness of sin, the feelings of sin, the struggles with sin. See, if we're trying to take Jesus with us and fight ourselves against those things along with Jesus. But if we say, Lord, I know you fought the battle for me, and I'm going to put my faith in you. I'm not going to concentrate on all this other stuff. I'm going to concentrate on you winning the victory for me. Lord, I'm going to build that relationship. Oh, that other verse says, oh, yeah, then I quote it. Then I heard the King of the Ages fought all the battle. I'm going to get this sermon before long, Brother Jerry. Name it and claim it. Maybe. Maybe. Name it and claim it's a good doctrine. Maybe. If you can name it. And you can claim it. And last of all, don't focus on the enemy's processes and procedures. Release the commander's conquest. So I tell the Lord, I've been understanding better, Lord. I back out. Lord, I've got this battle and I've been trying to fight it and stand on your word, but I'm stopping fighting, Lord. Here it is. You're the one to do the fighting. I'm just going to follow you, Lord. And every time I'm able to do that more and more, that peace of God comes. Lord, I give you the battle. I give you the fight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 7:30. How's that for perfect timing, Brother Jerry? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's all stand up to our feet for a few moments. Maybe you're here tonight and you have been fighting the battle, all well-intentioned and all good. And God's pleased with that, even when we are not doing it exactly right. God's pleased when he sees us. I believe it's Cricket talking about last week that you don't have to get all the way to the end for God to be pleased with you. He's pleased just when he sees you entering into the struggle. And so, if you've been here tonight and you've been fighting a battle against situations or sin or against the enemy, but you realize tonight that you've been just trying to join with the Lord and you and him do it together as far as fighting the battle. I'm not saying you won't be in the conflict, but the conflict again is for your faith. And so if you can just say, Lord, I'm going to put you out in the front for this battle. I'm just going, you're the victor. You fight the battles. And I'm going to go with you, Lord. And tonight, starting tonight, I'm not going to try to figure it out. I'm just going to trust you. That victory is on its way and it's coming. And if you want to start fighting that battle in a different, little bit of a different way, in a little different tone, then we're just going to have a closing prayer. If you want to come and stand here, if you don't need to, that's all right. That's fine. But if anyone realizes you've been sort of doing it, getting over into maybe trying to do some of it in the flesh or, not exactly the right way, we want God to make all this clear for us so that we'll fight right. Amen. We'll fight right. Amen. And I'm going to have a closing prayer here in just a moment. And the Lord knows how to do it. Thank you, Lord, for all these people, Lord, and for all of us. We're all learning. Lord, we've learned so many times that we fight and struggle, and we try to fight with you, and we try to overcome. But, Lord, so many times we're not exactly getting that faith in you, that finished faith that brings the ultimate victory. So let's all join our hearts together and believe that when we leave here tonight, that we're letting the Lord fight our battle. Hallelujah. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, Father God. We thank you for a conquering king. We thank you for a ruling and reigning Messiah. The government being upon your shoulders, Lord Jesus. And of the increase of your government, there shall be no end, Lord God. Hallelujah, Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that the enemy is no problem for you. Situations are no problem for you. Self is conquered. Sin has been defeated. Satan has been nullified. Everything is won. And we send you out ahead of us to fight the battle. We refuse to take the battle in our hand and to try to tag on to you or something else. We ask you, as captain of the Lord's host, to go forward and fight every person's battle here tonight, Lord. Let them go in peace, knowing, Lord, that the situation ultimately will be won. They will finish this race as winners in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray and I thank you and I give you glory. Amen and amen.